The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Can you remember when you were a baby?
Kind of.
So, Julia, let me sit here, and you guys come around and sit in front. Why don't you slip right down there? Perfect. Thank you. Come around, Penny. Or
Madeline.
This is Penny. So, when you were a baby, your parents taught you
to talk and walk and
how to behave in church?
No, I didn't go to church when I was that young.
Okay, so now you have to learn it as an older child. But one of the things you said, Penny, that your parents have to teach you how to talk.
Walk.
One of the very first words that most children learn to say, Mama. What else?
Daddy.
Dada.
Or I.
And then when mommy gives you something or somebody gives you a present, what does your mom say? What do you say? And what do you answer? Thank you. You answer thank you. And sometimes that's the first thing that children learn how to say is thank you. Because it's so important that moms and dads want us to learn that word. So even little, does your little baby know how to say thank you? Thank you. She doesn't know how to form all the letters or form all the sounds, but she makes the attempt. She tries to do it because parents teach us that, because thank you is such an important word. When do you say thank you?
When somebody gives you something.
Okay. When else do you say thank you?
When somebody lets you win the race.
Ah, okay. Ryder, when do you have to say thank you? Does mom ever cook a good meal?
Thank you.
And at the end of the dinner? Oh, that was so good. Thank you for cooking. Thank you for picking up your, and maybe your mom says it to you. Thank you for cleaning up your room. Thank you for picking up your toys. Thank you for being a good child today. Thank you for behaving. No, that none of that happens. Well, you know, I have a card for you. Chloe, here's one for you. I have a card for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
What's it say? Open it up.
Thank you. It says thank you on the cover.
And what's it say on the inside?
Nothing.
All right. So this is a card for you to think about someone that you should thank. So I'm going to give you those cards. Actually, I'm going to give you another one too. Don't seal it because you have to write it. I'm going to give you two cards. And you can think about who you might want to give that card to.
Thank you.
And when you go to Sunday school today, you'll hear a story about Jesus doing something nice.
I don't have any.
And having, here, Ryder, you can have two. Jesus does something very nice. And the story is, do the people say thank you? Or don't they say thank you? So listen to the story in Sunday school. But I want you to give those cards, if you have an opportunity, either today or tomorrow, to write on those cards or draw a picture. And you can give those cards to somebody that you need to thank. Okay? So off to Sunday school you go now.
Reading from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 111 responsively. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, honored by all who delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your wonder.
Give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown
the works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure.
They
sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is
glory to the Father,
Father
and to the Son. King from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Way to Jerusalem. Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
I have a couple of Thanksgiving stories. Many of you know that, where is Jeff? Jeff Coors, I was surprised to see him here today. Actually, I didn't think he was going to be here, so I'm talking about him. But I asked his permission, so he said I could tell this story. You know, just a week or so ago, he donated a kidney to his sister. Leslie had been getting dialysis, but she wasn't getting any better. She needed a new kidney. And Jeff was a match for his only sibling. So there was no question that he would give Leslie this great gift. It was an act of thanksgiving on behalf of both of them, both of their lives. An act of thanksgiving. Well, just about a month or so before this, Susan Benson donated a kidney. You know, not to a sibling, but you know, Susan had recently moved from St. Peter's, and she was living up in the Santa Barbara area and going to church at a Lutheran church there. And one Sunday, the pastor made an announcement about one of the members who was in failing health because of her kidney failing, and she was on a wait list for a kidney. This woman had not been in church for a while, so Susan didn't know her. But something, the Holy Spirit, touched Susan's heart, and she felt so grateful and so thankful for her own good health as she sat in church that morning and heard the story of somebody else who had failing health. She was just so thankful for her own good health. On the way out of church, she said to the pastor, "I'll donate my kidney." Shocked Pastor Truels, this act of spontaneous thanksgiving, giving thanks for her own health. The pastor was pretty stunned as she told him that she would do this for a relative stranger, but a member of her church family. A second story, well, third story. It happened so long ago, I don't remember the details, but I do remember that I was driving. I was in college coming from Minnesota back to South Dakota, maybe for a school break of some sort. My roommate's in the car with me. We hit a patch of black ice. If you've ever driven in the Midwest, you know how this happens. Just, you don't see it. And it's just ice on the highway. And the car went into a spin. It spun around, went into the ditch, out of the ditch, up to the frontage road. And it finally came to a rest on the frontage road, all four tires on the road, facing in the right direction. I jumped out of the car, and with newfound religious fervor that I didn't know I had, "Thank you, Jesus." I was so, you know, people would be really upset at me if I had killed their daughters, my roommates in the car. Spontaneous thanksgiving. You know, we give spontaneous thanksgiving, and I'm sure you have stories of your own. Stories of great thanksgiving when a disaster has been averted. The fire that goes right to your front door. A car not hitting anybody else. You know, disaster averted. We say, "Thank you, Jesus." Or a spontaneous thanksgiving for a magnanimous gift. I don't know if any of you have ever donated a kidney. But we give other gifts from our hearts, from the kindness of our souls. We give gifts, and people give gifts to us, and we're so thankful for them. Spontaneous thanksgiving. But I find today that there is more spontaneous lament. You don't have to look very far. There's plenty of cause for lament. Our government and this election cycle causes me great lament. The refugee situation on our own borders and all over the world. You know, we're trying to deport these thousands of Haitians that are in San Diego and right in Tijuana. Where do we send them now? We can't send them back to Haiti. There's nothing there. What do we do? What a crisis. Syria and the Congo and war-torn places all over the world. Matthew, not this Matthew, another Matthew. Matthew, the hurricane, and other natural disasters that, with or without names, human violence perpetrated on other people. We can go on and on with that list of lamentations in our own neighborhoods, in our own households, in our own hearts. There is spontaneous lament aplenty. But this Sunday's readings draw us to think about thanksgiving and our responses to the events that are blessed or challenges, great or small. By the time we get to the 17th chapter in Luke's gospel, Jesus is on border territory. He is, again, crossing boundaries, traveling through neighborhoods that he had no business being in, that most Jews would have avoided at all cost. And he's healing people that he has no responsibility for. Foreigners, people that don't look like him, people that don't speak the same language, people that don't have the same customs and culture. And he's healing those people. Well, today we hear that Jesus meets these 10 men, Luke says lepers. I would prefer to say people with leprosy. They're unclean. They're outcasts. They call with a plea for help, but they also know they need to keep their distance. They've been trained by their culture and by the laws of the land that they really shouldn't expect anything from anyone. And Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. According to the law, it was the local priest who provided the certificate that said that the skin disease that they had, that had isolated them, that had kept them away from their families and from society, that it was the local priest who was able to say, yes, you are clean. That isolation, that disease is no longer present. You can go back home. So by Jesus sending the 10 to the priest, he is promising by implication that they would be cured, that they would be allowed to go back home. And as they travel, they are cured. They're cleansed of this infirmity. The bumps, the boils, the body parts missing. Everything is cured and made whole. And when one notices, he turns around and runs back to Jesus to express his thanks, falling at the feet of Jesus in an act of worship, an act of thanksgiving. A powerful example of spontaneous thanksgiving. But notice this. Although Jesus raises the question, what about the other 9? They didn't do anything wrong. In fact, they did exactly what they were told to do. They were healed, and they were heading to the priest just as Jesus had told them to do. They were happy to be cleared to return to their homes and to their loved ones. They didn't do anything wrong. They did receive the blessing that had been promised to them when Jesus said, go. They were healed. And they were expressing their thanks in an act of obedience. They were doing what they had been told to do. But notice this too. The one who turns back receives a second blessing. Not only was he healed, but he was made well. He was made whole. When he saw that he was healed, he ran back in an act of thanksgiving. He ran back and received a blessing the second time. He was healed with the other nine. But now Jesus invites him to stand up and to go on his way with a second blessing. Jesus said his faith had not only made him physically clean, but also well, whole, inside and out. So what does this man, this foreigner, this outsider who was excluded in so many ways, this man of spontaneous thanksgiving, what does he receive? Certainly he received the gift of healing as the other nine did, but also the blessing that comes from recognizing blessing and giving thanks. He received the blessing of wholeness. In saying thank you, he was made whole. He finds his true identity, his truest place of belonging at the feet of Jesus. He sees that Jesus' arms are wide enough to embrace all of who he is, a leper, a foreigner, an exile, a person who has been excluded by society, and Jesus takes him in. You know, I love the toasts at special dinners. Well, not the drunken uncle at the wedding toast, but most of the toasts. That spontaneous act of thanksgiving. You know, when you're sitting at a special dinner and someone stands up and raises a glass and says, isn't this wonderful? Friends, family gathered together. I'm glad you're all here to us or to you. That spontaneous act of thanksgiving that turns an ordinary special dinner into an extraordinary special dinner because we've named it, we've said it. It's an extra blessing. The original blessing of a shared meal is multiplied. And we've all been blessed then a second time as we found this place of inclusion, this place of thanksgiving. Spontaneous thanksgiving is like that. It comes from perception and from our ability to recognize the blessing, and it comes from articulation, from giving expression, no matter how simple or small it may seem at the time. Giving expression to our gratitude for that blessing. And every time those two things are combined, the sight and the word, the perception and the articulation, giving thanks actually grants a second blessing. And I think we're blessed not only when we receive that thanks, but when we give that thanks too. Can I say your name? Gail gave me a card this morning. I didn't open it yet, but I'm sure it says thank you on it. Because as she handed it to me, she said, this is for clergy ministry appreciation month. Thank you. And we were both blessed. Gail blessed me in giving me the card, and she was blessed too in the ability to give the card. That's what Thanksgiving is like. Gratitude and Thanksgiving draws us out of ourselves into something bigger and better than we could imagine and joins us to the very source of that blessing. Having a life stance of Thanksgiving. Let me say that again. Having a life stance of Thanksgiving is such a powerful thing. We are freed from our anxiety, from the fear of scarcity, and we're given courage, the courage of abundance and grace beyond our imagining. We know that as we kneel at the feet of Jesus and voice our spontaneous thanksgiving, we know who we really are. A child of God, blessed, made whole, accepted, and loved just as we are, just for who we are. That's what the other nine missed out on. It's not that they did anything wrong. It's just that they didn't see their blessing and give voice to that blessing. They were healed, but they were not blessed the second time. They were not made whole or well, as Luke uses that word, inside and out. Thanksgiving allows us to be made whole, made well, inside and out. Our lives may be filled with lament, but also filled with blessing, challenges, and opportunities. So what do we focus on? Maybe today, as we remember that tenth man who returned in spontaneous thanksgiving, maybe we can also be people of gratitude, a life stance of gratitude, people who trust enough to be generous and courageous with the blessings that we have received. What's your usual greeting when you meet somebody? What do you say? How are you? Hello. Hi. How you doing? How are you?
What's up?
Have you ever greeted Brenda Johnson with that question? Have you ever said to her, how are you? For some reason, it irks her. It really irks her to have that question put to her. I asked her if I could say this. It irks her to ask that, have that question asked of her, how are you? And a few years ago, she decided instead of letting it bug her, that she would answer truthfully, how are you? And Brenda says, I'm grateful. Or, I'm blessed. David Lowe's is a seminary professor, or seminary president, and he writes a column for Lutheran pastors every week. And this week, he suggests that in order to call attention to living lives of gratitude, that we could do what Brenda does. We could develop a similar habit. He suggests that we start practicing our gratitude and develop a greater Thanksgiving-oriented muscle memory. And so instead of just saying, you know, how are you? I'm fine. To think about it, develop that muscle memory to make the response from how are you to a simple but powerful reply, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Brenda, do you know David Lowe's? Did he meet you one day and use you as an example? And he didn't name your name in the article. So I'm grateful. How are you?
Grateful.
Amen. Amen. If you would take your hymnal, we're going to sing the sermon hymn, the hymn of the day. Let me tell you a little bit about this song, well, about the author. This was written in the Middle Ages. It's an old, old song, but it has a lot of power in it. It's number 840. Martin Reinhardt wrote this song. He lived in Europe. during the 30 Years' War, a time of terrible violence and plague and destruction. It was terrible. The laments could go on for a long time. He was, as I said, he was a Lutheran pastor in a rather large city. And by the end of the war, he had buried thousands of people, including everyone in his family, his wife and all his children, and every other pastor in town. And then he writes these beautiful words of gratitude. He must have lived a life of gratitude, saying every day, thanks be to God for both the good and the not so good. Thanks be to God for keeping us in God's most amazing grace. Let's stand and sing number 840.